In Tibet, they call the guru the master, the lama. And the Buddhists always have reminded, and especially the lamas, the masters, that no, you have a human birth. You are a human being. Don't miss this opportunity. Because you can be a human being and be unconscious your whole life and missing your chance to become a human being. So it's a great gift to become a human being. But even bigger gift, they say, is to meet the Lama, because he can make you conscious. Dear beloved Baba, I have a report about two breakthroughs I have made this year. 3 years ago, in the initiation, you gave me the name Pema Devi, which means Lotus Goddess. It just so happens that I always wanted to be a lotus, which is a Buddhist symbol for purity that blossoms in a dirty pond of samsara. If you have the right wishes, then I will fulfill them. If you have the wrong wishes, I will break them. That's how it is. This symbol, the Buddhist symbol of purity that blossoms in a dirty pond of samsara, that is the symbol of the sannyasins. Every sannyasins has to be like that. Not escaping the world, but be in the world, untouched. That is the new sannyas. Not rejecting it, but being strong enough to be in it, without getting impure, without being affected, without being attached. That is the lotus. Thanks to your grace, I might have actualized this promise contained in the name. Yes. And only grace can do that, because it's a seed that can flower, but nobody knows. On the second day of gibberish, my neighbors were screaming non-stop like madmen. That's what they're supposed to do, Pema Devi. Because everybody is mad, but nobody is acting it out. And that's the way to go beyond madness, because madness belongs to the mind. People get mad in their mind because they are identified with their inner madness. So this is what we do. You unburden yourself, you allow yourself to go mad. then you are not afraid of going mad because you have then seen that after this madness, then silence, then peace, then relaxation comes, then non-attachments to that mind. Because nobody wants to lose control. The mind means keep control. But if you let go, then such a relief. Because then you see you are not identified with the mind. You can play with the mind. And it's absolutely necessary to unburden the mind. Otherwise, no meditation, no silence. No technique, no therapy is meditation, but it can prepare you for meditation. Meditation happens when there is quietness, when there is harmony, when there is peace. When you are not identified with the mind, when you can sink deeper. Nothing from the past or the future is disturbing you. You are settled in the now. And that is the way to be in the temple. That is the way to be with the Master. You are totally available to now. You don't bring any dust, any luggage from the past or the future. On the second day of gibberish, my neighbors were screaming non-stop like madmen. I, however, may laugh or breathe at times, but mostly quiet, meditating deeply in light. In Mystic Rose in Brazil, I had no tears, but other people's crying was such a beautiful gift for me. But this has also to do with cultures. Because in the West, they are much more expressive, more crazy than the Eastern mind. So this is more important for the Western mind to unburden themselves. In the East, people, for centuries, they have a different depth. And also, coming from a Buddhist tradition, there is a different depth. But all human beings, like they have laughter, they have tears. That is the beautiful thing. Only human beings have this very natural laughter and tears. And no animals, you see, that laughter. How would you see? After gibberish, one of the leaders, Bansi, was concerned that I might take on other people's garbage if I kept quiet. Yes, I have been very sensitive about energy, so much so that I became a recluse before I met you. Yeah, because you have different stages as such in your evolution. And the more sensitive you become, and especially in the beginning, you feel very, very fragile. Because sensitivity, more awareness, more beauty, more slowness has happened. Then one feels very fragile. Almost like you can see through you. You have nothing to protect you. So there is a time where you have to be more protected because you have to be more stabilized in that sensitivity. That fragile side of your being has to become more strong, more settled. Also, people have to be aware of it because sometimes this sensitivity can just be a way to hide. You are so sensitive that you don't really want to deal with life in a new way. It's a side of what you call the spiritual ego. So this, all these different sides and shadows is very difficult to see by yourself. It was only your kindness that allowed me to come and study with the Master again. It was tough in the beginning, but now I have been cured. I know it was tough in the beginning because I'm a totally different master. It was totally new. But you had the trust, you had the connection, so in spite of yourself, you did it. You faced your conditioning, you faced your habits, and look at the outcome now. You cured. That's how it is when you don't listen to the mind. Maybe you don't even understand it with your mind, but something deeper is there. And all connection is there. Something deeper than the thinking mind. Something deeper than this life. And luckily, you didn't go. It was no chance. From the very first moment, you knew this was your chance. I have been very sensitive about Annecy, so much so that I became a recluse before I met you. I remember when you first came, you were in shock seeing how I was. How could an enlightened one be like that? That is the lotus. And the lamas, out of compassion, has to do anything to wake you up, to cure you. Even if that means to go down to you and tickle you and hug you. It was only your kindness that allowed me to come and study with the Master again. It was tough in the beginning, but now I have been cured. I feel so normal. This normal is extraordinary in the world. To be normal is to be just natural. In tune. That is what it is to be cured. Not extraordinary, just normal. Just a nobody. Functioning out from that. In Zen Buddhism, they have these beautiful 10 pictures of the journey. I talked about it last winter. In the beginning, all confusion. Do I have the strength? Do I have the integrity? Will I find it? Will I be steady? Ups and downs. Then at the end, after the bliss, after the silence, after the deep meditation, he goes back to the marketplace with a bottle of sake. Just laughing with the kids. And why the children? Because they are the only one that is innocent. They can understand. The whole village will judge him. Only some people will recognize these people. That's how it always has been. Because now they are just normal again. They're looking more like a madman than a saint. Too ordinary. That's why fools follow this, that playing just like a sage. That's for the masses. Like a typical Indian guru in his very spiritual ashram with the ladies on this side and the men on this side. Why be afraid? It's nothing to be afraid of. Be natural, be normal. And when there is no fear, then there is relaxation. There is nothing to be protected about. But this is how it should be. It has to be tough in the beginning. Because you have to face yourself. But no, I have been cured. I feel so normal. When I conduct meditation workshops, my participants are so happy getting hugs from me. Something I stopped for more than 10 years ago. Yes, because then you were very spiritual and very sensitive. No, you're just normal. So I have healed you. And now they will love you more because now you can show them that also. Just being human is no division between the spirituality and being human. The higher and the lower is all together. In that there is freedom. It's not like this or that. It's both and more. You were right in telling me when we first met that I will be able to do this eventually. Yes. I was right. Because I saw that you had this totality. You wanted, in spite of yourself. I had to tickle you a little bit. The second breakthrough is getting over sleepiness that comes with too much bliss. Since I met you, bliss is getting stronger and stronger, and I could not bear it and fell asleep. I thought I should keep on going and become strong enough to bear more powerful bliss. No, you stay out of the way. Who are you to control bliss? Let bliss do what it wants with you. If it wants to knock you out, let it knock you out. If it wants to wake you up, let it wake up. Who are you? You can try to control the tsunami, can you? The only chance you have is to let go and say, Yahoo. I now realize that I broke that wall. What was beyond the wall of bliss was blue light and blue pearl, which is always constantly there when I meditate. I can meditate as many hours as I like without falling asleep. When I looked at you in the blissful spring retreat, you disappeared into light, which I thought may be Nirvikalpa Samadhi. The more light you have, the more you will see the light, no? Like I said many times, only lovers understand love. Only hearts understand the heart. The mind cannot understand the language of the heart. The body cannot understand the language of the soul. In India, they for the ultimate, they say Satchidananda. Not only God, they have three words. It's not Brahma, it's Satchidananda. It means truth or existence as it is. Sat. Chid, consciousness. Ananda, bliss. Bliss is the last. It's higher than consciousness, higher than truth. Why? Because it intoxicates you. That is the sign when you are so intoxicated, when you are blissful, that is the real sign that you are gone. No mind can be blissful. It means that now you're open to something from the beyond. You start getting drunk. The Buddhas can feed you. And what do they feed you? Nectar, bliss, consciousness. Then you get intoxicated. And that's why they all say you're becoming drunk. This is also different from person to person. But in one way, some people, when they get intoxicated, they might dance like a mirror. They make like poetry like Rumi. They might become silent like a Ramana. You never know how the outcome will be. And some is a combination of all. I have all. I get totally intoxicated and I get totally silenced. So it's nothing more than bliss, because these three is how it is. And after bliss, again silence. But deeper silence. Because this has, bliss is working on the finest channels in your human body. In your very consciousness, in your chakras. So they purify, the bliss purifies you. Then the silence, the emptiness becomes deeper, fuller, more present. That's how they work together. It's not against, it's like yin and yang, they go together. My students do not understand there is something beyond bliss and light and ask me why I'm still searching all over the world. You're not searching, you're just enjoying. You're just with me. You're just with yourself. There's nothing to search. No, we enjoy now. What else to do? And most people, they have no understanding what bliss is. They are not even happy. What to say about bliss? They dream about bliss because they are so lost. They are so full of mind and projections and ego and problems. They dream about bliss, like they dream about God. But you have to be total. You have to be devoted. And even then, how can you find it? That's where the Lama comes in the picture. That's where the Master comes in the picture. If you can allow yourself to be open, then you get drunk. Then you disappear and bliss comes, consciousness comes. That is the easiest way. But that is the secret that only the devotees knows. Because it's beyond any technique. It is beyond any doing. It's more like a love. You cannot have anything in between. You have to be totally available, open. And only in that openness, that longing, can the transmission happen. My students do not understand. What students understand? Maybe as they go on, they will understand. After they have been settled, they have rearranged their life, they have looked at themselves, they have worked on themselves, they become more steady, they go deeper in the meditation, they become happy, they become more conscious, they take full responsibility, they become more total. Then bliss, out of bliss, more silence, deeper meditation. But I know I have ways to go to melt into you and become one of you. I cannot fathom how far and how deep I have to go, but nothing will stop me now. And who cares? That's the only thing you have to do, Premadev. And don't you have a good time? Everything is taken care of. It is all your grace. Thank you so much for the amazing progress. No, it's nothing to do more. It's more to relax in this normal nature. You being indifferent for everything else. Buddha had a word for it, upeksha, indifference, not take any notice of what comes and goes. Which is very difficult because for thousands of lives, the mind has been running your life. It takes time to become settled. Even with the master, your mind comes and takes you away. Even when you are in the temple, you get the mind comes and get other ideas. It will disturb the peace. One has to become very steady, devoted. That's what I call totality. An indifference to everything, upeksha. That is what the Buddha called it. Nothing disturbed. You have made up. You know. It is this. Nothing can shake it. Then you become steady, then you can become a hollow bamboo, then you listen, then you feel, then you see. Otherwise, always things will disturb you. I'm still a hungry baby bird waiting to be fed by you. How is this breakfast? It's good? Yours sincerely in ever-growing gratitude and sincerity, Pema Devi. Very good, Pema Devi. That is what satsang is. You absorb the master, the bliss, the consciousness. The only thing now, just enjoy, relax, become more and more normal. And I know many times, even when you've been in the retreats here in Brazil, you've been very busy. No, take more time when there is retreat. No, when you have the satsang. No, you have beautiful places to relax in. Don't do so much. Don't do so much work. Just do ordinary things. Cook, go for a walk, take a bath, sleep, relax. Just ordinary things. Then the whole system will fall more and more into this simple life, which is totally forgotten. Just to be ordinary. And that's what I want to create, just ordinary Buddhas. I will read you something my master said about satsang and being available to the guru, to the master. First, you have to become empty, so you're receptive. And the master can pour himself into you, in your emptiness, in your silence, in your love. He can come and reach you. Only then communication becomes possible. A disciple means one who is centered, humble, receptive, open, ready, alert, waiting, prayerful, the master is absolutely important on the journey, because only when you are in close proximity of a being who is centered, your own centering will happen. That is the meaning of satsang. Satsang means in close proximity of the truth. It means near the truth, becoming one with truth. It means near a master who has become one with the truth. And the disciple, when open, receptive, by just being near him, it happens. If your waiting has become deep, intense, a deep longing in the heart, that this deep communion will happen. The master is not going to do anything. He is simply there, available. You have to be open. And if you are, the flow will happen. This flowing is called satsang. With the master you need not learn anything. Nothing else is needed. If you can learn satsang with the master, that is enough. If you can just be near him without asking, without thinking, without arguing, without any mind, just being present, available, so the being and the energy of the master can flow into you. And being can flow, it is already flowing. Whenever a person achieves integrity, his being becomes a radiation, he's flowing. He's alive. Whether you are there to receive it or not, that is not the point. He is still flowing. He is still radiating. If you are empty, ready, open, then he can flow in you. A disciple means one who is ready to receive, who is thirsty. If you are really here with me, satsang start, I can flow. And that flow is deeper than any talk, any discourse, any communication through language. Much deeper and higher than any intellectual meeting with you. A deeper level of meeting can happen beyond the words, beyond language, beyond mind. That meeting is satsang. And everything else is just an excuse. Just to find ways to be close to the master. This closeness is all. But only a disciple can be close. Anybody and everybody cannot be close, impossible. This intimacy, this closeness means a loving trust. Why are we not close? Because there is fear, there is mind, there is projections. Too close, it may be dangerous. Too open may be dangerous, because you are become vulnerable and then it will be difficult to defend. This is the old mind. So just as a security measure, we keep everybody on a distance. But in this love, being with the master, this closeness means no territory is your own. It means to be vulnerable, to be close means whatever happened to you, not thinking in terms of security. A disciple can be close for two reasons. One, he is centered. He is trying to be centered. A person who is trying even to be centered becomes unafraid. He becomes slowly fearless. He has something which cannot be killed. You don't have anything, hence the fear. You are just a mess, a crowd. You are not centered. You have to become steady. Otherwise, you are just a house of cards, bound to be always afraid. Any wind, any breeze can destroy you, so you have to protect yourself. And because of this constant protection, you cannot love, you cannot open up, you cannot trust. This is what a disciple has to learn, just to be available, open. That is grace. Nobody can do anything, but it happens. That is love, but you have to be aware. You have to be open. You have to be available. You have to be trusting. You have to be on guard that nothing else is in the way. Then even love is there. But you have things in between. This is how people are. You may have wives, you may have husbands and so-called lovers, but there is no love because love needs closeness, love needs trust, love needs totality. You may even have gurus, masters, but there is no real disciplehood because you cannot allow yourself to be total. To be totally given to somebody's being so that he can overpower you, overflow you. And the master will flood you. And that is the whole reason of satsang. Beloved, I was just trying to keep silent and avoid a river of words between us. But I noticed some things I feel I have to share with you, really beautiful ones. Bhagat. That is how you start, and then four pages later. You have to trust and learn that there's other ways to share. Because all these things can go on, and it's just so difficult for you to stay silent. Unconsciously, you've been blabbering your whole life. All your problems. Then when you start getting happy, coming back, then you desperately have to share how good you are doing. Just be quiet. Go deeper. You have to learn to share on a deeper level. Otherwise, this will go on forever. If it's negative things and problems, or if it's positive things, or is it inside or whatever, you have to learn to trust yourself, to go beyond the words. All this is just to be occupied in your image. And many people are like that. Oh, they have to share, they have to talk. Because it's so difficult to just be quiet. It's so difficult to just get integrated. It's so difficult to just be crystallized. You have to learn to be content in yourself. Some stuff I discovered wasn't so nice also. There were dark valleys, and with the contrast to so many friends, even new ones, who jumping so totally into the river that you are, I saw how slow and cowardly I've been for so many years to give myself the chance of a longer period near you in a retreat. And even telling you I love you so much, that already it makes me ashamed. Why? No. Either you are special because you are so high and you are so spiritual, otherwise you are such a useless, dumb fuck that you hit yourself in that way. Just be a nobody. Relax, when you are here now, don't compare, in contrast to so many friends. This has nothing to do with anybody else. Here you have to look at yourself. Then no problem. There is always somebody ahead of you, always somebody behind you, no? Some people always hit themselves because it's somebody, oh, these people, they must have gone further. They are all sannyasin. And some people, oh, I feel good. Because these new people, they don't know anything. This is how the mind goes on and on and on. But this has nothing to do with that. Some people can come and they get it like that, and somebody can sit there for 10 years and they not even started. It depends on you. It's about totality. But it is something in it, many years, and you've been very busy. And I always tell you that you have to be aware, if you really want to look and be involved and open and grow, you have to use the opportunity when the retreats are happening. So now when you are here, Bhagat, don't bring in anybody else, and don't think about those that is waiting for you, or your work, or anything. Try to be steady in what you're doing here. And then if some insights comes, write them down, take notice. But don't dwell on these things. I want you to be totally focused on the meditation, on the nature, on yourself when you are here. You learn to be more crystallized. Less talking, more feeling, more depth. Otherwise, all these Even to me, this sharing can just go on and on and on. It can be very direct. Just a few words and you know it. That's why I like that old way they sell telegrams, no? Telegrams are very expensive. Huh? When you look in the cowboy movies, they do 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 do. So then they, I will come on the 15th. And then, wow! She's coming on the 15th. He's coming down. Then it's great. Just a few words is poof. No people, blah, 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 blah. Even to me, they write so much, and it's just blabbering. It's just a throw-up. I hardly find anything. What is it they really want to say? Just da-da-da-da-da. Ah, good. Communication, awareness, clarity. These people, you think you have to talk and you have to share forever. Nothing will come out of it. Just get more confused. No more dependent on it. Not rooted in yourself. It's like you trust other people more than you trust yourself. Like you say, how you have seen things coming up with in your relationship with Asila and other people. This is what you have to take notice when you are here. Not to hit yourself, be happy that you see things. And that's how human beings are. It's very difficult to see things clearly when you are too close. You have to have a little distance to see it. Now you have a distance. That's why I like to take people to here and there and away from that different, normal kind of setting. Because people fall asleep. Now you see because you have a distance. Now you can miss. If you have it, then you get the human beings, they are so sleepy. Very soon you get used to it. You don't appreciate what you have. You are so stupid that even if you were in heaven, you don't appreciate. You want something else after a few days. So now learn, but be more appreciative, more aware of the moment. Then you bring that with you back, your new clarity. Then you share what is important. You say, but having these things clear, even though it doesn't diminish this shame, at least opens the door to be courageous and responsible because it only depends on me. Yeah, it depends on you. And now you start getting a new vision. You start seeing more clearly. But don't hold on to the shame. Don't hold on to the fear. Be happy that you can see. If you are blind, if you are ignorant, if you are stupid, then you do many stupid things, like everybody does. Even hurting those that really love you, that you love also. But with a little awareness, you are more careful, more cautious. Then focus on the positive things that now you start seeing more. Now you're becoming more aware. You don't hit yourself. That's a waste of energy, Bhagat. Be happy that you see in a new way. So really go, because it seems like this is very deeply ingrained of you. You're talking about these ugly patterns I found in myself. No, nobody around here see ugly. Everybody likes Bhagat, this crazy guy Bhagat. He said, what can you do without? How would it be here without you? Even though I don't allow you to come here and eat up my toes anymore. You can't eat my toes. You have to eat my consciousness now. It's the dessert. Instead of looking at these ugly patterns and shame and pain and guilt, focus on what is happy in your life. You are here, you're doing the meditation, you're following your heart, you are close to your master. Change from the negative to the positive. That's the first step. Put all your energy into the positive. Again and again, I remind you, you've been enough serious. You know, you're trying to go on with that. Here I am, I don't allow it. I'm sorry. Are you ready to drop it now? Okay. Yeah, it's fallen when I start walking, but I have to hammer it in. Eternal gratitude to existence for giving me the greatest gifts of Osho and you, and both of you for accepting me as a disciple. A little wishy-washy. Well, I can only say for myself, I accepted you. I don't know if Osho would have accepted me. Stick to the, what you have. That is like people, oh Jesus, Buddha accepted me as a disciple. What do you know? They are gone. And stop being wishy-washy. Wishy-washy is a problem for, especially for Buddhas. So wishy-washy people are a very big problem. Not so big. Oh. Because who is not wishy-washy? Just relax. Only once in a while you feel somebody who is really together. No? Then it's very good. There's far and few in between. But that's how it is. As you come in closer, you have to become more aware. If you're just a tourist on the outskirts, then you can just be as dumb as ever, no problem. As closer you come, the more responsibility, the more you have to face yourself, the more alertness, the more consciousness. If you want to grow, then you have to change. No, that is how it is. No, wishy-washiness is not good in any temple. You know, you have to behave good. You're on sacred ground. You can't just be running around like a fool. That is how it is. Love and totality, you know. Don't get wasted in all these things of the mind and coming closer when you are here. This is an opportunity and invitation to come back to yourself, to go deeper, to become more clear. Drop the past. Any past that is you bring into this temple or when you are with the master, it's just in between you and him. Is in between you and love. Anything that brings you bring in. Just be new, available, clean. Only then can you be in tune. Otherwise, something always will be there. That is what is called old karma. Why people have karma? Because they have done things that is not conscious. They have done things that is not finished. So if you become more conscious on this journey and you realize some things is always bugging you, something is coming up, something is unfinished, finish them. finish them, stand up for it, make it clear. So you can move on more in freedom, more space, more open for the now, more open for the new, more open for love. That is what an intelligent person does. You can't carry with you the past. You have to clean it up, finish your karma, move on. That's the responsibility. But no, I cleaned you now, no? So then I don't need to talk anymore then? Okay, thank you. May everybody get clean. And happy. And drunk. And silent. Om Shanti.